Thank you, Brother Arlen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Going through this series in Cloud of Witnesses, in chapter 11, we're given the names of quite a few, and then some that are nameless. Cloud of Witnesses. If you turn over to chapter 12, there it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so that's referring back to chapter 11, all these all these saints of God. Now, a saint is any person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. That is who a saint is, not what some religions create saints. And they say, oh, a saint has to be someone who made a miracle, or after they die, their bones touch something and made another miracle. All kinds of formulas that are not scriptural, not biblical. A biblical saint is one who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Be saved from our sins, penalty of our sin, but the power of our sin. You know, when you live for self, it's hard to, we just can't get free from our sin nature. But when you trust in Christ, when you recognize that God is holy and I'm not holy, that's a wonderful time, because that's an opportunity for you to trust in God and say, God, I want to be holy. I want to be like you. I want to be in your presence. And, then all of a sudden the world, when you trust and put your faith, you've repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the world looks different.
Amen.
This is not our final home. We are just pilgrims passing through in this life, in this world. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. So then all the things that the world holds so important, for us it's different. We recognize that family is a picture of our relationship with God. We recognize that our workplace, the position of an employer and an employee, that's just a picture of our relationship with God. And all these things, all these pictures come into view, and then we're saying, oh, now that's where my part is. That is where I, as a child, if I'm being obedient to my parents, well, that's a good lesson for me to learn what it means to be obedient to God. And God is our Heavenly Father. And if you put your trust and faith in Him, then you are a child of God. Otherwise, you're a child of, do you know who? Satan. Jesus talked to some of these people quite bluntly. You have your father, the devil. Your father has been a liar from the beginning. And so, do you want to be a child of the devil or a child of God? And so your relationship with your parents is a good indication. Now, that's when they're telling you to do things that are right and proper. It's unfortunate that nowadays there are many parents that do not take their responsibility seriously. And they're not good parents. But you know what? If you've trusted in Christ, you can understand that. You can understand that we live in a fallen world. And so you can pray to God, because God, if you've trusted Him for your Savior, He's your Heavenly Father. And He can really help you through these difficult times. There can be very, very difficult times as a young person. I think most of us here, I expect that most young people here, things are good for you. But we never know. But God knows. God knows your heart. He knows your situation. And He cares for you. God is the Father to the fatherless. And He takes care of the widows and the fatherless. And He can take care of you. as a good admonition to us parents, I'm not a parent, but to the parents here, just pray and ask God for wisdom as you lead your family aright. Recognize that your young people are sensitive, and try to remember when you were that age. That's helpful. Oh, God bless you. Well, that's a rabbit trail there. But we talked about Abel. We talked about Enoch. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham. We talked about Sarah. And we're come back now again to talking about Abraham again. When we talked about Abraham first, it was in verse 8 that by faith Abraham went, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. That's verse 8, Hebrews 11. And then, so that's where he came out of idol worship. His father and his community were worshiping idols. They worshiped the moon god. They worshiped different gods in the heavens. And later, that became, some of his descendants actually went back into idol worship. And but Abraham, thank God, was saved from that, saved out of that. And that was his salvation. And he went not knowing where he was going and why. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. And that's the new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, with a new Jerusalem coming down from that new heaven. And that's a city that believers in Christ are looking forward to. And now we're just going to carry on, and we're going to look at Abraham again. This is several years after, since he's been saved, quite a few years, maybe in the order of 45 years. Since he trusted Christ, since he trusted Jehovah. Jehovah in the Old Testament is the pre-incarnate Christ, Christ appearing the two people before he came as a baby in Bethlehem. But for this message this morning, let's start with reading here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. And if you want to stand in honor of God's word, let's just stand if you're able to. And we'll start reading in verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Dear God, I pray that thou direct my words and thoughts, that they'd be pleasing to thee. And I pray that each one here, we'd be focused on thee and on thy word. And anything that I might say that is not appropriate or from thee, just would be ignored. And things that are from thee, is speaking to our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that would be primary in our hearts and minds this day, that we could learn something from thee, that we could take for the remainder of the day and the coming week and days and years to come. We just look forward to thy soon return. We just say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We praise thee, dear God, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So here we see, this is a history. It's recounting an event that happened in Genesis chapter 22. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, do you understand, young people, what that means, offered up Isaac? Wow, let's just take a look and see what that means. I think this is, right through the ages, this has been quite a dramatic thing. Right to this day, look at this. And it came to pass after these things, and we'll talk about these things a little later here, but came to pass after these things, this is Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, that God did tempt Abraham. Now that word tempt there, that's many synonyms. And here in this case, it's talking about testing Abraham. God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Did you get that? Offer him, offer who? Isaac. Isaac, the son that thou lovest, thine only son. Isaac, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will... That's terrible. Isn't that terrible? Do you know what he's saying? God is telling Abraham to take his son. Now, his son likely was maybe anywhere between 15 years old and 30 years old now. So, and Abraham is over 100 years, maybe 100 and... he's over 100 at this point. 115 or more. So he's quite old, elderly. So here he's taking his young adult son to put him on an altar and burn him. That would mean he would die. A terrible, well, he would kill him first and burn him on this altar. Isn't that terrible? Why would God ask him to do that? That's why I told you this is a terrible thing, right? Okay, but you got to hear the rest of the story. If you don't leave with that in your mind, because there's a good part to this story. Okay, all right. There is a terrible part, but it turns out good. All right, but as I mentioned, we are going to get back to this. So, starting back in verse 1 again, and it came to pass after these things. Okay, which are these things? Okay, so let's say the things that were in chapter 21. I should point out that this event that's happening in chapter 22 is the last time that God will be speaking to Abraham directly. Previously, probably six or seven times previously, God spoke to Abraham. But here now, this is going to be the last time. And here in the previous chapter, we see that this is a case where Abraham... at Sarah's wishes, Sarah had wished that Ishmael be sent away. Remember, we were talking about Ishmael was his illegitimate son, a son that really was not the son of promise. God had promised that Abraham would have a great nation, and yet he had no children. And so then Abraham and Sarah concocted this plan that they would have this son by Sarah's handmaiden. And that was not God's will at all. So that was an illegitimate son, certainly a son of Abraham, but illegitimate, not the son of promise, the son of the flesh. And God here in chapter 22, verse 1, is not recognizing that as the son of promise. And here, so Sarah said, get rid of Ishmael because his mother is being not nice to Sarah. And so Abraham was going to do that. But God spoke to him and said, don't do that. Ishmael will become a great nation. And you've done the wrong thing, but Ishmael will be a great nation. And so don't be sending him away. And then also we see in this chapter before, chapter 22, one of the events was that Abimelech, whom Abraham had lied to, remember he lied to Abimelech that Sarah was his sister? With the intention, like even though he was his half-sister, he intended to defraud Abimelech. But God sent a plague to Abimelech because he protected Sarah from Abimelech going in onto her. and sent a plague, and also a dream that Abimelech would be warned that not to touch Sarah, because that was Abraham's wife. And so here Abimelech, the chapter ahead here, earlier in Beersheba, that's the well of Sheba, that's the well of seven, Sheba being the number seven. But also, sometimes they take the word Sheba to mean oaths. So the well of oaths, well of seven, we see earlier Abraham made an agreement with Abimelech. He said, your servants have taken away the well that we dug. And so Abimelech says, well, I had not known that. And so they made an agreement, and Abraham gave seven ewe lambs to Abimelech. And Beersheba, to this day in Israel, is known to be having been purchased by Abraham way back then. And so these are the things that it says here in chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham. Now, that word I mentioned earlier, so if we look over in James chapter 1, and we see that blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so, you know, we're told to count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And but we need to draw a line here. God never tempts a person to sin. God tests people, but He will allow. We read that in Job. We read that in the Apostle Paul, where he's saying that a messenger of Satan was sent. Thorn in the flesh. I hadn't meant to look at this, but in 2 Corinthians 12, it says there that 2 Corinthians 12, 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure this is the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing that through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it should depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then the Apostle Paul carries on saying, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So even though, you see, God does not tempt us to do wicked things, but he can allow Satan to tempt us. And so it's very important to understand that God is not the author of sin. And so if we carry on here in James chapter 1, blessed is the man that, and this is verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, I can relate to this. Sometimes in my Christian life, I've gotten a little bit pouty with the Lord. And you know what that's like. I mean, we read about Israel in the Old Testament murmuring, and I confess, I have sometimes done that, and it's not right. And this is verses telling us, we cannot let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cares for you. He's not going to allow you. The verse in Corinthians there says, God will not allow thee to be tempted above that thee are able, but he is faithful that with the temptation, boy, there again, I'm misquoting it, but I'm going to just turn to it then. Is that chapter 10? There hath no that's chapter 10, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, that means to allow you, to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Okay, you understand that? God never tempts us to do evil, but he can allow Satan to tempt us to do evil. And so let no man, we're back in James chapter 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So what do I do when I'm murmuring against God? I start taking inventory of my own life. What is causing me? Why am I murmuring? Why am I fretting? I'll tell you, sometimes it's because God is leading us through things that he wants us to. You know, when a parent says to the young child, jump, doesn't that sound cruel? You know, the child is standing on the edge and the father says, jump. And the child jumps and the father catches them. Isn't that wonderful? Building trust. That's just a small picture of what God wants us to mature and to learn, that we can trust him. And so he might lead you into some very difficult things. And verse 15 carries on. Like, so I have to take inventory. Well, is it my lust that I'm pouting? And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So believers, let's be encouraged. When you find yourself pouting before God, take inventory of your life. What in your life? What lust in your life is not being fulfilled the way that you would want? What is it in your life that needs to be corrected? Are you born again? If you are, understand that to have patience and wait on, because count it all joy. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay, so that's just verse 1 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things, so we talked about those things, that God did tempt Abraham, or brought about this trial in Abraham's life, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son. Now, why was he saying only son? Because this is the son of promise. This is the son that is the son of promise. And there was other provision made for that illegitimate son. The son of the flesh. The son of what I would do that's not pleasing to God, thinking, well, how am I going to get out of this situation? And thinking that, well, wouldn't God want me to maybe prosper in some area? Well, if he's not prospering me in that area, maybe I shouldn't be forcing that. And sometimes that can lead us, we really need to have an evaluation of, are we doing this in the flesh or not? Now, one thing to recognize, in this case, God was speaking directly to Abraham. Okay? Now, God speaks directly to us through his written word today. Now, he can give you impressions, like sometimes go speak with your neighbor, go speak with that friend, whatever. That might be the Holy Spirit prompting you. But you can't write that down and say, absolutely, this is, you know, from God. But one thing you can know is that this is from God, his written word. And one of the things that he says in his written word is, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's, what is it, like First Timothy? Or, I mean, 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's pretty blunt. I can speak from a man's perspective. Men, boys, men, abstain from fornication. I guess women too, but you women understand that in your own way. Abstain from fornication. Are you looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at? Men? That's a very difficult thing in this world nowadays. Are you getting close to those of the opposite sex that you shouldn't be getting a familiarity? That's a terrible thing in the workplace these days. Isn't it wonderful when people mostly work from home and husband and wife are working together and you know, that is so nice. Just when I started working in the corporate world in Calgary, oh my. You know how bad it is? I mean, I'm sure it's worse than this. Oh boy, yeah. One of our vice presidents, his wife shot him on the steps of the courthouse in Calgary. he didn't kill him; he injured him. But I mean, okay. But anyway, my first boss, when I was in Calgary, his wife lost her job. He was working for this oil company that I was with, and she was working for an oil company, and she lost her job. And he said, well, she lost her job. I just sent her papers of divorcement because she said, I can't let her drag me down. And then he went and he married the librarian in our company. And because he said, information is power. Information is power. Men, women, it's a difficult time nowadays, especially in the workplace. Don't be having very close unfamiliarity with coworkers of the opposite sex, because this leads to temptations. So I'm just reading. So what does God have to say to you? Like, he spoke to Abraham, right? Now he's speaking to us today. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Anyway, just encouragement there. But here, I just want to point out that, you know, the scriptures were not written at this time. God was speaking directly, so he knew, this is God talking with me. And so, the son that thou lovest, this is the first time the word love appears in the written Bible. Ooh, that's interesting. What's the rest of the story? The first time that love is... So this passage is talking to us about something love, about love. This is thy son that thou lovest, and thine only son. Well, we had read there in Hebrews chapter 11 that Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. His only begotten son. Self-generated. Or unique son. And so the son of promise, not the son of the flesh, the works of the flesh, but the son of faith. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, now God is, do you understand? Isaac was supposed to be the one that was going to be a whole bunch of descendants followed after. Now God is calling him to kill him and offer him as a burnt offering on an altar. And verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young... Now, here's a good indication. You know, if you know what God wants you to do and it's a difficult thing to do, don't hesitate. Just go for it. Remember when Lot hesitated? He hesitated to go into Sodom, to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels had to take him by the hand and was taking him out. Don't be like Lot. Be like Abraham. If you know what God wants you to do, take action right away. He rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I don't think he lingered around asking his wife what she thought about that. Earlier she had told him, get rid of the illegitimate son. But God told him, no, don't do that. And so now he wasn't waiting to hear her opinion. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham is walking all along here with his son for 3 days. For 3 days. In his mind, he's walking with his son that is going to be dead shortly. For 3 days, in his mind, this is his dead son. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He laid that wood, so his son was carrying the wood. And he probably could carry quite a bit if he's anywhere between 15 and 30 years of age. He's a strong guy. He's carrying this wood. And Abraham took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine asking that? This is Isaac is asking his father, here we got the fire, we've got the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Obviously, his dad hadn't told him yet that he was going to be the one on the altar. Whew. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, what was Abraham thinking? You know, isn't it nice that Hebrews tells us what he was thinking? If you look there in verse 19, Hebrews 11, 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. He literally believed, and why not? God told him to take him as a burnt offering. He literally believed that he was going to kill his son. We in the Sunday school, we were talking about children that have grown up where there's no gospel message. And sometimes that environment can be very wicked. And the children are growing up in that. Can you imagine? Abraham grew up in a wicked society. And now, can you imagine maybe what he's thinking? Is my God like those gods? Because, you know, those bad gods were asking their people to sacrifice their children. And Abraham, what is my God like those bad gods? Oh boy. But he thought, you know what? You know, I'm going to do this. God spoke to me. I'm going to do this. And he thought, well, you know, God is able to raise him up from the dead. And so even though for 3 days, he's thinking, this is what I got to do. He's going, and now he's telling his child. He says, the child says, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him, this is verse 9, came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You understand that Isaac had to be willing to do that. He was big enough, likely to overpower Abraham, but he willingly was on the wood, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son, as a substitute for his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will provide. Amen. The Lord provides. And it is, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. It was a prophecy. And was it seen? Almost 2,000 years later, yes, Jesus Christ was that lamb that was slain. Literally slain. Willingly, he went to the cross. You know, here's Isaac carrying the firewood on his back. Remember the story about Jesus? Jesus carrying his cross where he would be crucified. Before that, long before that, John the Baptist had said, told the people, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The next day, John chapter 1, 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then again, he says in verse 35, "And the next day again, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God that Abraham prophesied, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Almost 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ was that one, that lamb. And so we can see that that wording, God will provide himself, because who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God. He is God that created all things. He is God that has humbled himself to be with man. Jesus Christ is the living God that can be with man, as he was with Abraham, as he was with Moses, as he was with the disciples. They walked with God. How can you walk with God? Now, we won't get into that again. We've gone into many times Exodus 33, right? Exodus 33, where Moses spoke as a man speaks face to face. He spoke directly with God, the Lord, Jehovah. And in the same chapter, had to be hidden in the cleft of the rock, because God's glory is so great, you would die if you were exposed to the full glory of God. Jesus Christ came veiled in flesh to be our Savior, to be that Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And so, isn't that wonderful? This chapter starts out with the word love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Thank God that our God is not like the gods of the heathen. He, God himself, gave his Son, his only begotten Son, to be a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. It's available to all, but not all will make use of it. Only those that repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ can have the full riches of that abundant water, that the water that flows freely, the eternal life that only comes from Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless you as you ponder on these thoughts of how great a God we serve. Sometimes we might go through some very difficult times, but have patience. Wait on God. See, read his word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Read God's word. Meditate on God's word. Memorize God's word. And God will bless you. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would help us to recognize how awful sin is. How awful it is that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And we thank thee, dear God, that it doesn't have to be our blood, but that thou hast given us thine own dear Son on the cross of Calvary to die in our place. And so many people reject that free gift of salvation. May it be that anyone in the hearing this message would understand that if they have not trusted thee as Savior, they can trust thee this day. The great, great, terrible price that was paid at a high cost, and yet it's free to us if we only believe and trust that you've paid for our sin. We know how bad sin is. Terrible. Some people say, well, no, that's okay. No, it's not okay. Our sin is coming from within, out of the heart of man. The Lord Jesus made that so clear. And we thank thee that it is clear in thy word. We know where sin comes from. It comes from within, out of our own lusts. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is completed, it brings forth death. We thank thee for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Dear God, we just pray that thou bless us the remainder of this day. Look forward to hearing thy word this evening again, and pray that thou would go with us all in the coming days and weeks and months, and help us to be walking close with thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.